We're turning again this Sabbath morning to Genesis chapter 28. And for the sake of time, we'll just read a couple of these verses, beginning at verse 15. "And behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land, for I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. And Jacob awaked out of his sleep, and he said, Surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. And he was afraid, and said, How dreadful is this place! This is none other but the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. And Jacob rose up early in the morning, and took the stone that he had put for his pillows, and set it up for a pillar, and poured oil upon the top of it. And he called the name of that place Bethel, but the name of that city was called Luz at the first." Amen. God will bless this reading of his word. We'll bow together for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we do thank thee for thy presence and help in our meeting already today. Lord, we thank thee for thy young servant, David, and we commend him to thyself and pray that guide him, direct him, and in thy will, we pray that he will be brought again to us into this land where he has spent the past year. And our Father, we pray that thou bless his sojourning in his homeland and the work that he will be involved with there. Lord, we pray that prosperous hand and give him fruit for his labours, and may he see great things accomplished for the extension of thy kingdom. Bless the church and the witness there. And we ask, our God, that the Holy Spirit will be poured out and that great revival will come. Now, Lord, bless us here today. Help us in the remaining part of this meeting. Pour out thy Spirit upon us and bless thy word to our souls. We ask it in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. At the beginning of July, I drew your attention to this chapter and to the verse 19, to the place called Bethel. It was my intention to just spend one Sabbath morning on this particular subject, but it has been such a blessing and such a thrill to my own heart that we are still thinking about this particular portion of Scripture. It's good to get into the Bible, and it's good to bring out things new and old, and to dig the golden nuggets that are there for our benefit, for our enrichment, so that we might be rich in those things which God would supply for our souls. And when you get into the Scriptures and you begin to read, don't be afraid to ponder over and over again, because the Lord has always something to say to us afresh from his word. And so this morning, having considered Bethel as the place of reverence and godly fear, and the place of holiness, we think of it as the place of transformation. The transformation that took place at Bethel. After the word from God which came to Jacob, a transformation occurred in him. And you'll notice it came after the word of God came to him. After the revelation of God's word, there came revival. This is always the way it works. We will not have transformation before the tidings of the word of God. We will not have revival before the revelation of God's word, the preaching of the word of God. The word of God must be proclaimed if a church is to walk in the ways of God. The word of God must be proclaimed if a man is to be purified and to please the Lord in all his ways. So first is the scripture, and then comes sanctification. Then comes transformation and revival. And it's all because of the word of God. It is no other way. It can't be any other way. And if anyone suggests it's some other way, then it's not a biblically based transformation. It's not a biblically based revival, and it's not a biblically based work. And so therefore, we learn from this passage furthermore that Bethel was the place of transformation. Transformation following the coming of the word of God to the heart of Jacob. Notice in verses 16 and 17, Jacob awaked out of his sleep, and he said, "Surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not." Look at 17. "This is none other but the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven." So after the word of the Lord had come to Jacob, his thinking was transformed. After the word of God had come to Jacob, his theology was transformed. After the word of God had come to Jacob, his terror was transformed. After the word of God had come to Jacob, his testimony was transformed. And after the word of God had come to Jacob, his tithing was transformed. A place of transformation. What a place. All these transformations in one man. And when you think about it, if such can be the experience of one man, what if it became the experience of an entire church in a local community? My, what an impact it would have for God in the very location, in the very area where God has put that church. Let us pray that God will make Bethel real to us, and that it will be a place of transformation for all of us in our Christian experiences. The transformation in Jacob's life was characterized by a change in his thinking and in his theology. Look at verse 16. There was this realization of God's presence. "Surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not." How often we have to make that confession, that God has been speaking and we knew it not. God has been here and we knew it not. God has been moving and we knew it not. That's a very sad commentary on the life of Jacob. And it is equally sad in the lives of Christians today. Jacob had some ignorance removed by the word that was given to him in this dream. Some of the ignorance was taken away from him. He suddenly realized, as a result of this divine revelation, that God was present right where Jacob was, right in that very place. The omnipresence of God is not readily recognized or appreciated by many. And wherever we go, whether it is during the sleep of the night, whether it is through the activities of the day, God is omnipresent. He's everywhere present at the same time. In Jacob's day, the heathen limited their gods to various locations. They set up gods galore here and there. And their gods, this god was the god for this place. And this other god was the god for this other place. And they were limited to various locations. As an example, in Elisha's day, the Syrians, in 1 Kings chapter 20, verses 23 to 28, the Syrians thought that Jehovah God of Israel was limited to the hills and not to the valleys. They thought that Israel's God was the God of the hills. And therefore, Ben-Hadad, the king of Syria, decided that he wanted to fight Israel in the valleys, because Jehovah was not in the valleys, as he believed. That was the thinking of Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, the thinking of the Syrians, the thinking of the ungodly. And isn't it sad that some still think that way about God today, even amongst God's people? God's people. For in a time of trouble, the valley experience, they do not think that God can help. And therefore, as a Christian, I can turn my belief into unbelief while I'm in the valley of trouble, not believing that God is able to help me to fight that battle. He is. He's the God of the hills, and he's the God of the valleys, and he's with us all the way. Jacob's knowledge of God had been limited, but this divine revelation, that is the bringing of the word of God to Jacob, the touching of his heart, it brought enlightenment to him. It brought enlargement of heart to him. And it brought encouragement to him. And I trust and pray that not just today, but all the while when we read the scriptures of truth, that God will touch our hearts. That is one of the main purposes of God revealing his word to us, that we might walk in the light of his truth. Men are ignorant today because they have not paid much attention to the divine revelation called the Word of God. I'm not preaching a revelation in a dream that you might get. I'm not preaching extra revelation outside the Word of God. But we have this revelation in the Bible. It is the complete revelation of God from Genesis to Revelation. And God still speaks through His Word. But are we not oftentimes ignorant of His Word? Because we don't study the Word. We don't read the Word. We don't allow the Word to sink into the heart. And therefore, we are the poorer spiritually and ignorant of the teaching of the Word of God. The way our churches today in our country de-emphasize the Word of God in their services and in their various programs has helped to foster a lack of knowledge about God in the land today. And that's the reason for it. There is a de-emphasizing of the importance of the Word of God, the centrality of Scripture. And you visit various churches. We were in one yesterday at a wedding. And it's very sad to see in the Presbyterian Church of Ireland a departure from the standards, a departure from the truth, a de-emphasizing of the Word of God. That's what it's all about. And no matter how we look at it, modernism and the trends of today are an emphasis on de-emphasizing the Word of God. We need to get back to the old-fashioned ways and the old-fashioned truths. Many people, past and present, are like Jacob. Like he was here in this chapter 28. For many knew it not regarding God's presence. The dangerous thing about it is that God is revealing His Word. But when we de-emphasize the importance of that Word and take away from it, then we will miss out on the sense of God's presence, the realization of it. God wants to bless His people. He wants to be among His people. He wants to be where people are gathered in the Savior's name. Here's Jacob at Bethel, and he knew it not that it was the house of God. People act today in various manner, in various ways in the house of God, and you would reckon that they knew not that it's the house of God, but some other place of entertainment, some other place of trying to entertain people in order to bring them in to fill up the seats of the house. Here was Jacob, he knew it not, and few people still recognize the Lord. In John chapter 1 and verse 10, we read the words about the Lord Jesus. It says He was in the world. And then what does it say? But the world knew Him not. He was in the world, but the world knew Him not. The Scriptures also say in Psalm 19 and verse 1, and we've been singing about it. It says, the heavens declare the glory of the Lord. And yet, scientists, biologists, astronomers can look into the great and glorious heavens and remain atheists, unbelievers, in spite of the firmament declaring the glory of the Lord. The heavens do. The skies do. The earth does. All the handiworks of God declare His glory. And yet we have learned men in seats of learning all over the world. Atheists, agnostics, unbelievers, teaching false doctrines and teaching false ways, such as evolution and much more besides. And as we noted in a previous Sabbath day, some preachers even, and commentators and scholars, have great difficulty recognizing the presence of Christ in the Scriptures, due to hardness of heart, unbelief, and blindness of eye. But you know, when revival takes place, when the Lord comes and reveals Himself, men will get out of that situation. And it's only God who can change and bring men from blindness to sight, from darkness to light, from unbelief to belief. Only the Lord can transform the thinking of the mind and change the heart. Only God can transform the theology of Jacob, and only God can transform the theology of men today. Thank God for His great power. This is none other but the house of God. And in verse 22 it says, "This stone, the stone that Jacob took for his pillow, which I have set for a pillar, shall be God's house." God's house, a place of worship, a place of witness, and that's what God's house ought to be today. A place of worship. That's why it's called God's house. And it's associated with worship in the Bible. And worship involves what was in Jacob's dream. God and His Word. And I believe it focuses upon Christ. Because when Jacob saw at the top of the ladder the Lord standing, I believe he was looking upon his Redeemer, the Lord Jesus. And thank God, the house of God is the house of worship. We come to worship the Lord. We come to worship Him. And you notice angels are mentioned, and angels also remind us of worship. For in the Bible, they are associated with the worship of God. There is so much worship today that has nothing to do with God or His Word or even Jesus Christ. That's sad to say. It's light, it's flimsy, it's empty. And there's no substance to it. And therefore, it cannot be edifying. God wants us to worship Him in spirit and in truth. It is a place of witness, the house of God. It's a place of witness. It reminds us of 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15, where the Apostle Paul speaks to us of the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of truth. That's how he describes it. And therefore it is a witness. This pillar speaks of a witness that Jacob set up. Speaks of worship. And Jacob remembered Bethel as the house of God, the place of worship and the place of witness. Oh, may God make this house a place of pure worship, where Christ is worshipped in the beauty of holiness, and a house of witness, so that all may know that the Lord is in the midst. and that he's here to bless, and that the testimony is raised for his glory. A place of transformation. Jacob's thinking and Jacob's theology were transformed. May God come and transform our thinking and our theology and make us believers in his truth, to be the men and women that we ought to be in this day. We'll look at the others somewhat later. Let's bow together in a word of prayer.